Steelers wrapped up training camp in Latrobe today. They have a joint practice at Acrisure tomorrow with the Bills. And then Saturday night, they play Buffalo. 7 o'clock kickoff. Still waiting to hear who starts at quarterback for Pittsburgh. Josh Allen will play for the Bills. For more, go to 93.7thefan.com. Right now, it's Pony and Miller.
This situation has been uncomfortable. It's been contentious. It's still a little bit of both of those as we sit here right now, at least between Brandon Ayuk and the 49ers. What I've been told is that Brandon Ayuk would prefer to stay with the 49ers and has always preferred to stay with the 49ers, all things being equal. Now, they haven't been equal, but they did make that offer. In fact, both sides sent proposals within the last, couple days, week or so. The 49ers number has gotten better than what it was previously. And they have, from my understanding, they have agreed on a lot of the main points of the deal. Their offers are in line. It sounds like there's just one more thing that needs to be ironed out. If that thing gets ironed out, Brandon Ayuk signs the deal. He stays with the 49ers. He drops the trade request. And finally, we can put this situation behind him. The Niners can put it behind him. Look, they did the fourth quarter comeback with Debo Samuel before when he had the trade request. This would be like, like Montana to John Taylor, that kind of last second type comeback. But it can happen. It has happened before.
All right, quick trivia before we get into what Garofalo said there. Mike Garofalo, NFL Network. Good afternoon, everybody. Andrew Filippone, Chris Muller, Donnie Football, and intern Sonny Gray before he goes back to school. Who did the 49ers beat in the Super Bowl when Montana threw the ball to John Taylor for a game-winning touchdown?
Cincinnati Bengals.
I was going to be for those two because I know who, you know.
I knew it was Cincinnati.
Did Sonny?
He might have.
No.
No, he might have said like the Cleveland Barons hockey team.
Wait, was that the same game where Montana allegedly saw John Candy?
Yes. He broke the ice by saying, "Hey, there's the Candy Man right there."
What if it was horror villain the Candy Man? Break the ice.
What a flex for Candy. What an all-time flex for
that
the
he's
late
that recognizable?
Deceased John Candy. Not only is he that recognizable,
he's famous.
But it's potentially the biggest moment of Joe Montana's life, and he takes a second to notice comedian John Candy and then to relax his team. Look who's there over there, Uncle Buck. Did that movie even come out yet?
Remember when he ate that big steak?
Hey, it's the guy from Stripes. Yeah. Anywho. One more thing to iron out, huh? That's the latest twist in this. Mike Garofalo, among the national reporters, seems to be the one who's doing the lion's share of the talking about this story. It's 2 o'clock, 2:04 actually, on August 14th. We have not heard from Adam Schefter on this in almost 2 days. That is so bizarre to me.
Why do you think it is?
I think he just said the hell with this story.
I'm sick of it.
I think he's...
Of course, the one story, not that you're not plugged in on a lot of stuff, but the story you are extremely plugged in on that I would say you've had first is such a tenuous, tough story that a man who makes 8 figures a year to do this stuff wanted to wash his hands of it like he's Pontius Pilate.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the Ayuks of our lives.
That's what this soap opera has done to even the best of us, Chris.
So I had to go stop at urgent care because I wanted to make sure I didn't have like a ear infection or like some sort of strep throat because my ear and throat has been bothering me. You know what they told me? Jaw muscle issue. One of the possible causes? Stress.
And that's what you have? Jaw problems?
I got to get on a steroid, yeah, for like some sort of a TMJ, like the one side of my jaw.
My late stepmother had a horrible case of TMJ.
Do you know what that stands for?
I do, actually. Something joint.
Yeah. Hold on.
Temporomandibular.
Yes!
There you go.
Check out the big brain on Pony! I got TMJ issues, and one of the potential causes, in addition to like chewing something weird or grinding your teeth, is stress. And do you want to know what is the one stressor in my life right now?
Hold on. I think I might know.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the Ayuks of our lives.
It's the god dang Brandon Ayuk saga, which never ends. It never, ever ends. And it would be appropriate after all of this.
If you trust Garofalo, it's on the verge of ending because there's only one more thing to iron out.
But Pony, it's been on the goal. It was on the goal line on Monday. Last Monday.
What is there to iron out? I mean, He's saying
a shirt?
He's saying that the 49ers number has gone up. And here's what we know about the offers. San Francisco allegedly, reportedly, was at 26 when training camp started, $26 million a year. And the Steelers are somewhere between 28 and 29. If they've gone up, if it's by $1 million, it's 27 versus 28. And Garofalo said, Ayuk's preference is San Francisco, all things being equal. I know 27 and 28 are not equal, but they're damn close.
What about cost of living out there, too? We went nerd wallet on it yesterday.
The cost of living, exactly right. $27 million in San Francisco. I mean, that's... In Pittsburgh, that'd be like $44 million a year. He could do so much more with $27 million here in Pittsburgh. But my theory on this, and this will be put to the test, if we get news that he's a 49er, then I'll be wrong today. My theory is that this is a PR stunt by the Niners. And that this is another example of them using the media and using Garofalo, and maybe why Schefter has not waded into these waters. But another attempt by them to make it clear that they exhausted every option before trading him for less than their fans want and probably guys in that locker room want.
Because they're trading with one team, and so they have to do something like this because there is not a second team to actually
drive. No one's driving
up
the price,
Malzi. It's Eric Carlson. It's another famous California athlete.
And Omar Khan is not going to bid against himself. He's too smart for that. He doesn't fall for that. He don't play that
game. They don't call him the con artist for nothing. So you think this is still...
Do we still have Omar's coming music, or is that gone by the wayside because of things here, Donnie?
Because of things.
That I probably shouldn't get into.
No, you shouldn't.
Is it gone? It might be.
Omar,
there it is.
I love the end.
Even get it because you didn't watch The Wire.
I know the meme. I've seen the picture. I've seen the video before. That's the all-time show where I'm like embarrassed that I started it. I was like, the first episode, really good. Good show. And then stopped watching it.
We still have that. So, I think that this is PR by San Francisco. Like, they leaked out Cleveland and New England, even though they knew he was not going to accept the trade there, but they wanted to put those offers out there and make them public. So if they did accept the Steelers trade, it would make Ayuk the bad guy and not John Lynch or their front office and all this. Malzi, you have said multiple times that what the Steelers should have done was get Terry McLaurin, even though Terry McLaurin was not available. As someone that wants Brandon Ayuk, and is hoping for Brandon Ayuk, not just because...
I'm not sure Terry McLaurin was not available. I think anybody's available for the right price.
Oh, what is this now? The Million Dollar Man speech?
The Million Dollar Man?
Didn't he say everybody's got a price?
Oh, I thought you meant like Steve Austin, the $6 million. No. Yeah, I think everybody's got a price. Everybody's going to pay.
But at least they keep him. So it's not like you can point to what another team gave up for McLaurin and say, I would have given up more and I would have paid him more to bring him here. We don't have that. Okay.
Yes, we do not have that.
We have one wide receiver move that I could tell you right now, even as someone that wants Ayuk and thinks that Ayuk will make the Steelers a much better team, despite all this BS that has gone on around this. There is one move that they could have made back in March that I think would have fixed this instantly, and we'd be in a much better place about the Steelers right now.
Do tell.
They should have traded for Keenan Allen.
Who went for, a fourth?
He went for a fourth round pick.
To the Bears.
Yep. And you can pull up his numbers if you want.
No, they're great. Who was huge Keenan Allen fan.
Who was the more productive player last year?
Keenan Allen.
Yeah. He's older. He's 32.
Ayuk is explosive in that offense. Keenan Allen is a catch machine.
But here's why Allen would have fit the Steelers better. It would have been in line with the whole we're going for it in 2024 with guys who... If it doesn't work out, like a la Russell Wilson or Justin Fields, we'll move on, and there's no big cap penalty, there's no long-term consequences, There's nothing that's like an entanglement that is going to hurt us down the road.
Guilt
we tried
free.
It. It didn't work. It's Let's go. Keep
stuff.
It moving.
Yeah. No, for sure.
And he, I mean, you, I think, have a far higher opinion of Deontay Johnson than I do.
Not. Why is this getting misconstrued by everybody? I think he and Ayuk are just much closer together. It's a lower opinion of Ayuk than it is anything else.
But I think that Keenan Allen does what Deontay Johnson does much better than Johnson does. They are the same type of wide receiver. Allen is just maybe the gold standard at getting open and being a volume catch guy in the NFL. He had 7 touchdowns last year, too. So he's making between $18 and $23 million. I know one's the salary number. I think the cap hit might be 23. So what? I mean, think about that. He got traded on March 14th, the same day or the day before Kenny got dealt. Johnson was early in the offseason. You could have done all of that right in a row. Boom.
You're reshaped your room.
We're not having, if this doesn't work out,
Van Jefferson.
And who's going to get cut in Tennessee? And do the Texans have too many wide receivers? I mean, this is eating out of a trash can is what this is, which, by the way, I got so drunk in college, I did once.
No.
Allegedly, yes. My roommate said they saw me down the hall
eating out
in
of
our
trash
dorm.
Can. What were you getting out of the trash can? Was it like George who puts there's the eclair on Seinfeld?
There was like a styrofoam
right
container
there.
Of like half-eaten like chicken tenders and fries or something, and I started eating them.
So it was a
them.
Closed container.
Yeah.
You went into the trash.
Yes.
You then picked it out of the trash and ate it.
I guess. I don't remember doing any of this.
Donnie, this is going to sound incredible.
Blackout status.
If it was thrown in the garbage in a closed container at the top of the garbage heap, I'm not defending eating out of the garbage here by him in this setting as not being like a very desperate move, but as that behavior goes, it is far more acceptable if he was eating something that was just self-contained in its own little apparatus there.
Yeah, and you're not truly like dumpster diving.
Yeah, but still, you don't know who was eating it before. I mean, germs.
Did you eat a tender that had a bite taken out of it?
I don't know, Chris.
Okay, that part would be a little different.
I was on drugs.
Can you cut that part? I don't know, Chris. I was on drugs. I think we could use that is a very versatile clip from 2:14 p.m. today. Thank you, Donnie.
Donnie, I'm going to do the same thing I do every day with you. Do the 49ers have it at the 1 yard line, or do you agree with my theory that this is just PR by them?
I think it's PR by them. I think, and maybe it's just because I want to think this, that it's been smoke screens by them for majority of this time. Like, it has felt like their last few attempts has been like an old school threat of like, hey, don't make us sign him. We will sign him. Don't make us do this. Don't make us sign him. Like pleading.
It's like Malsy trying to discipline Lennox. I'm this close to taking your
I'm
Nintendo
gonna
Switch
three.
Away.
I'm going to count to three and we're going to sign him.
Stuff was taken away this morning.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, I said, hey, it's time to turn off the TV. You've watched enough. I had to go 3-2, and then he turned it off. I said, okay, now please put the remote up on like the little shelf. He tossed it a couple feet. I said, pick it up. He eventually did. Then he refused to just set it down on the counter. He had to throw it like 2 feet. I said, well, you're done. Picked up the remote. Remote is now hidden. TV's done for the day. Bye-bye.
Is that when he called you jail dad and said that's
No,
where
he's
you
called me jail dad and said, I don't love you. You know, you're a bad dad, all that stuff. I mean, that's like boilerplate. That's water off a duck's back. It really is. Like, he's just like, he says all that. He gets very in his feelings. And then, like, 3 minutes later, he walks in, sweet little kid face. He goes, Dad, could I have a sweet? Could I have a cookie?
And? You give in?
No. I usually am like, did you eat anything healthy? And then he just, like, you know what he does? Instead of lie, he just doesn't answer.
One former Steeler has a crazy theory on what's going on here with Ayuk. I'll run it by you guys. Can text us on the Edgar Snyder and Associates fan text line. Final day of training camp. That means it's our last episode of Camp Chronicles later this hour on what went down in Latrobe today as they were getting ready to say goodbye. One Steelers coach not ready to say goodbye to Mark Caballi, by the way, breaking news.
Intrigued.
Shouting out Caballi. But right now, a Donnie headline. NFL Network's Mike Garofolo saying that all along, Brandon Ayuk wanted to play for San Francisco. All things being equal, he would sign back there. And there's only one more thing that needs to get ironed out, and he will re-sign. but he's the only person saying it. So we'll see if Garofalo's 49er source is giving him accurate information or just giving him PR mumbo jumbo to try to make the 49ers look good when the Steelers eventually finalize the trade for Ayuk. So they can say, hey, we rolled out all the stops. We tried everything we could.
Do you think it makes more sense for the Niners just from a team? Okay.
I totally disagree with that.
Well, how do you know what you're totally disagreeing with?
This is just payback for what you did to me yesterday when I said I have one more question for you.
And did you ever think
I said,
what
can I ask you a question? You said no.
I know I did that. I figured it was payback. Do you remember what the question was?
I don't now. Wait, yes, I do.
Okay, ask me the question and then I
don't want
to
anymore.
Why? Now you're doing it to spite me?
Yes.
Yeah, it probably wasn't that good of a question anyway. Round and round we go.
Anyways, what were you going to talk about?
I'm not going to talk. No, does it make more sense for them, in your opinion, if you were just running that franchise right now, to trade him to the only suitor you know he wants to go to because he's rejected other ones, or to just keep him at this point? Like, what is the better business move here?
Wait, when you say keep him, what do you mean?
Just give him what he, just say.
If, give him what
if,
he wants?
If other teams, let me put it this way, to have this thought go through your head as Lynch, if three other teams at least were willing to give him a lot of money because they think he is that good, maybe we should just pony up, reevaluate how we have prioritized our players.
No, I disagree with that. Because you're the 49ers. I mean, if you were a team that was dregs of the NFL, and it's like, wait a minute, all these smart organizations want our good player, have we miscalculated? I might, on the outside looking in, say, well, this is more evidence of this dumb team being dumber. That they don't have the right value on this player, but it's San Francisco. So the fact that they, for the longest time, did not want to back off a number because they have other business that they've deemed more important, I don't disagree with them on that. I think both things can be true. I think I can feel like Ayuk is a great fit for the Steelers, and I'm willing to pay him and give up draft picks for him, but I understand why San Francisco looks at what they've been able to do there and thinks he's not someone we have to have. He's not
essential person.
He's not an essential person like Christian McCaffrey is. Okay. Dulac today was asked in his chat about what happens if Ayuk doesn't come here. And he said, I'm not exactly certain what plan B is if the Ayuk trade doesn't work. If they don't have a plan, like, I think plan B is just the best guy who gets cut in the next 3 weeks. That's the drop off. It goes from
so they might say
a top 15 wide receiver conservatively to what?
Top 18. It's just
those three guys that you just want to quibble with me on. There's just three random dudes who you can't even name who you're like, well, I don't say 15 because you're leaving out the
so you think that
Mike
this is
Evans
all,
of the world.
All of the Van Jefferson's really been opening eyes is a lot of bull spit.
Of course it is. Why else
because
would they be?
Because they're trading for the guy.
Yeah.
Or they're actively trying to trade for the guy.
If they actually thought Van Jefferson, here's the thing. They can't feel like Van Jefferson was miscast in his previous stop because his previous stop was with this offensive coordinator. If it were a situation where he was playing for a team that didn't utilize his skills correctly, we get him here, like Joey Bart, or just, you know, just whatever reclamation project you can think of. We'll give this guy an opportunity, or they didn't use him correctly, or they didn't give him enough of a chance. We're going to give the player that opportunity. He's coming from an Arthur Smith offense where he didn't succeed. I think he was purely brought here to help younger guys develop in the offense because he knows the playbook and he knows what it's like to play for this coach, not actually be their number two wide receiver.
I'm just making sure I'm covering all my bases.
Speaking of Arthur Smith, went on McAfee's show and had this to say today.
I know he's highly regarded around here, and I know he's a friend of the program as well. I've had some brief interactions with him, and you hate to see that happen to anybody, but if I was betting, I'd betting that he'll find a way to have success.
That is Arthur Smith talking about Mark Cabali.
He also said program, just like McAfee likes to say.
Let me hear that again.
I know he's highly regarded around here, and I know he's a friend of the program as well.
He's even got his guests saying his speech patterns. Although I guess Arthur Smith's from Memphis. It's more sensible that Arthur Smith
he's
would have
he's not a true Southern.
Memphian?
No. I mean, he was only there because his dad was a
founded
billionaire.
Founded the company based there?
Yes.
So if he was born in Memphis and grew up in Tennessee, you're telling me he's not Southern?
I don't think he's authentic Southern. I just
that's
don't.
Where he lived.
I don't care. So, you think he's putting peanuts in his Coca-Cola and he's doing all the Southern?
Maybe.
I don't think so.
So if he's eating right dry now, rub barbecue and listening to the blues, he's a pretty authentic
Memphian. He would have been a damn fish out of water at last night's Washington County Fair, Arthur Smith.
I disagree.
He would not have, as a silver spoon planted in his mouth from day one, he would not have been able to.
So you're
to.
Saying everyone that was there is poor?
No, I'm saying we're blue-collar people. That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
So coaching football is pretty white-collar. Playing football is pretty white-collar. He played. He coaches tough guy positions. Arthur Smith would have fit in there with people not knowing who either of you were. If there was like a cloak of invisibility.
He would have said, where is the, I don't, this doesn't make sense to me. Where is the caviar tent?
Oh, while you'd have been over there just, you know, ham-fisting deep-fried Oreos.
What is this?
Did you have any deep-fried food there yesterday?
I had sausage and peppers.
That isn't deep-fried, though. That could have been made in like a crock pot.
Chicken tenders.
Those are deep-fried.
Yeah.
Smith would have fit in there much better. I bet you he actually
Donnie,
has
break
a pair
the tie
of
here. Who fits
boots.
In better at Washington County Fair, me or Arthur Smith? Son of a billionaire or blue-collar guy like me?
Did you change your outfit at all before you went?
Didn't have time.
I saw pictures. He was wearing those Nordstrom pants and that just very sharp-looking shirt of
his. You got to be careful with those nice clothes. You're walking through that barn. All those animals.
They had like
5-year-old
kids just ripping off stunts in motocross. It was incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, it was amazing
those kids,
how small these kids were. And they were
dirt bikes and stuff. Yeah.
Flying.
Oh, yeah.
How were the, what was the main event again?
It was motocross.
I thought it was hot semis night.
I don't know what hot, maybe, I don't know what hot semis are, Chris.
Yeah, I thought it almost sounded dirty. Oh, and do we have some hot semis for you? Wait till you peek under these
hoods.
Check
out the hot semi on Johnny Sins.
Check out the 6-cylinder engine there. That's a V8 on that semi.
Follow us on Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. All right. Camp Chronicles next. Final chapter. The biggest story from the last day of training camp. Jeff will join us later. He was there to put a ribbon on Steelers training camp. Did the largest human who has ever played for the Steelers step foot on St. Vincent College's fields today? And who took first-team reps at quarterback? All coming up. First, a Donnie Football headline.
It's time for another chapter in the PM Team's Camp Chronicles.
Say it ain't so, Joe. It's over. Steelers are packing up. They are done in Latrobe. Are they stealing St. Vincent College towels like Jim Colony used to do? Maybe. But today was the final practice. We'll get more of a recap from Jeff Hathorne in the Hawk Report in the 5 o'clock hour. Some notes, some nuggets from the final practice. Russell Wilson pretty much took all the first team reps at quarterback, potentially getting him ready for Saturday's game against Buffalo. If he is deemed healthy, and it sounds like he will be, Chris, how much did Russell Wilson play against the Bills on Saturday?
2 series.
What if the first series is a touchdown?
1 series.
What if the first series is a field goal?
I still go another series.
What if the second series ends in a terrible interception?
Still 2 series.
You
take the good with the bad, happy with the sad. Yeah.
You won't go over 2, but you'll go under 2 if he's really good.
Yeah. The Kenny Pickett rule from last year.
Ah, yes, because that worked out so well.
Well, Russell Wilson has won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, and so is Eli Manning. You want to bring him back?
No.
Joe Flacco was available this offseason. We got to sign him.
Joe Flacco
Was good in Cleveland last year until the playoffs. So good. You were, I think, searching there for something to rip and slander.
No. I was trying to say about Joe Flacco, he was good, and then I thought, did they win a playoff game? No, they crashed and burned.
Yes.
Russell Wilson also threw, 26 touchdowns last year? Here's an over-under for you, or here's a question for you, a serious one.
I didn't even answer my own question. I'd play him the entire first quarter. Go ahead.
Will Kenny throw 26 touchdowns his entire NFL career?
No.
Listen to that jaunty music in the background, Donnie.
I'm going to go no. Well, these aren't Camp Chronicles, Chris.
No, I know. You'd play in the entire first quarter?
Yeah.
Okay.
Donnie, how much would you play, Russ?
I'd probably go 2-3 in that sweet spot. Probably 2 series.
Bang. He apparently looked quite good today. 7 shots. He was hitting Pickens.
He hit Pickens. First throw of the day was a touchdown.
And then he hit Pickens over the middle. I had been told Russ didn't throw over the middle.
I mean, plus, like, okay, I understand that maybe he wasn't great his 2 years in Denver, but even though he's a little bit older. Well, I mean, last year he was far better than anything we had here.
True. But
that first year in Denver,
to be honest, that first year in Denver probably still better than what we had.
Hold on, that first year in Denver does a lot of, like, and I'm not saying Russ is God's gift to quarterbacking here, okay? Like, I'm not. So before anyone goes that route,
it puts a big blanket over what he actually did last year.
But my point with the first year thing is that was a match made in hell from the start. They thought they were getting Aaron Rodgers once they hired Nathaniel Hackett, and Aaron Rodgers left him at the altar. The only reason you would ever hire Nathaniel Hackett to coach your football team is if you thought he and Aaron Rodgers were a package deal. That was a built nightmare from the start.
Okay, this is what I always do to you in these situations. I use some of your old comments against you.
Okay.
The excuse making that you're doing for Russell Wilson right now and saying he was good last year. Was Ben good in the COVID year when they got blown out by Cleveland?
He was better than anything that was here last year, which is really what's at stake.
Okay, I will concede that point, but I'm asking you to answer this question.
No, he was a check down merchant good? Just like Russ was last
year. So your
he
answer is no?
He occasionally take deep shots. He was average at best.
Okay, was he good?
No.
Okay.
No.
33 touchdowns, 10 picks.
There is a little bit of a difference,
33
though.
And 10.
Little bit of a difference here. Ben did not want to move anymore.
Chris, go look up Russell Wilson's rushing stats.
I know.
He don't want to move either, brother.
He got leaner again because he's ready to move. Ben really couldn't move at that point.
Tykeem Doss was spotted. Hard to miss a hippopotamus on the field at Steelers practice.
I'm distancing myself from calling him a hippopotamus.
Mulsey, he's got to be the biggest gigantic guy who's ever suited up for the Steelers. He checks in at 380.
6'5", 380. Max Starks had to be
no
pretty damn close.
No way, Jose. Okay, was he bigger than Doss?
In weight. Max was 6'9" almost.
I said I guess biggest is open to interpretation. But he is the heaviest player I think that's ever put on a Steelers uniform.
How big did McCullers ever get?
350?
But was McCullers like wink wink nudge nudge 350?
This guy might be wink wink nudge nudge 380.
So you're saying he's closer to 6'5"?
I don't know,
Bills?
But I'm just that's
Max Starks listed 6'8", 345. Ramon was a large human being.
Not
for the
anything
Steelers.
Like
Ramon,
that, though, Ramon,
6'5", 330.
50
Starks
pounds.
Is the largest person I've ever seen in person like that.
Really? I was going to say Banner was bigger.
I'm trying to, like, visualize. I mean, Zach sat next to me with his dog. One time his dog was here.
Zach was a gigantic
human being.
Person.
He's still alive. He is a gigantic.
Yeah, true.
Zach, 6'8", 360. God dang, dude.
This guy's got 20 pounds on him. If you lost 20 pounds, which you guys both did, although you ended up losing more, you lose 20 pounds, you take a victory lap for that. That's the difference between Zach Banner and this dude that they brought in from Baltimore. How does a man 380 play? How much more does he weigh than Casey Hampton did in his prime? 50 pounds?
Well, that big snack was like listed at 6'1", 320, and the 320 was always with a wink and a grin.
Donnie, you've loved the Steelers, and you watch old games like me. Have you ever seen a human listed like this? Beluga whale that they brought in? I mean, it's...
DeJuan Jones, for comparison's sake, is listed at 6'8", 374 pounds. And DeJuan Jones is a mountainous human being.
I'm trying to think. I mean, not even in Steelers history, just some of the bigger players.
Has there been a four?
Seen.
I mean, okay, the largest players I can think of were like Ted Washington and Gilbert Brown, the nose tackles. Ted Washington, if he was...
They weren't tall enough to weigh this much.
Right, yeah, I think the height held them back a little bit. Like, who was the guy... I can't remember. Who
Ted
was,
Washington, 6'5", 365, though.
Who was the guy that played for the Bears, defensive tackle? He picked off a pass, and he almost returned it for a touchdown, and Dick Enberg and I forget who he
Keith
was
with. Keith Traylor?
Yes, I think that's who it was. I mean, they were almost laughing on the broadcast.
Traylor,
he said the earth is rumbling.
Traylor, a mere 6'2", 337.
Oh, he's light work then compared to some of these
others. I'm telling you, man, I've never seen 380 before in my entire life.
I think you have.
Harry Callis? Come on, Chris, that would be mean. Is that what you're getting at there?
No, I'm just saying I think you've seen 380.
Not on a football field.
DeJuan
maybe,
Jones,
maybe at the Washington County Fair yesterday, there were some gargantuans.
Wasn't the whole problem with DeJuan Jones that he was not like necessarily his listed 374 and they thought he was heavier than that? You've probably seen close to 380 in DeJuan Jones.
Well, then I think this guy's 400 because I think they always lie about the big man's weight and cut him some slack. Tykeem Doss, 380. All right. This was Camp Chronicles. For the last time, are you going to miss it?
I'm going to miss the music for sure.
I think in the history of this radio station, which for me and you is almost a decade and a half, I think this is the first time I never went up to camp.
Definitely the first time I never went. Well, wait a minute. No, when I was on like the late
COVID
show.
Year.
The late show also. No, you know what?
I think you probably did a weekend show there or something, for sure.
Well, I would have been on 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. by the time we would have been in camp season. So yeah, I probably did go up there.
Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy, low of 62. This from an analyst. Brandon Ayuk is an idiot for wanting to be a Steeler, to paraphrase. Why? We'll explain that next. Time out, and we're right back for a long commercial-free segment. It's the PM team.